system.
Two cars
with radio beacons have been left earlier in the middle of the city. The beacons have been switched on automatically a few seconds before the plane's takeoff. The automatic pilot is guided by the two beacons and starts to descend according to a previously worked out trajectory. The second plane has been sent off by a second group operating independently of the first one. It was a simple plan. If the first plane did not destroy the White House, the second would. If the first plane did destroy the White House, then a few minutes later, all the heads of the Washington police would be near where the explosion had taken place. The second plane would kill many of them. At 0600, all radio and television channels interrupt their normal program and report the destruction of the White House and the possible death of the President of the United States. At 0613, the program known as Good Morning America is interrupted, and the Vice President of the USA appears. He announces a staggering piece of news. There has been an attempt to seize power in the country on the part of the leaders of the armed forces. The President of the United States has been killed. The Vice President appeals to everyone in the armed forces to remain where they are and not to carry out any orders from senior officers for the next 24 hours, because the orders would be issued by traitors, shortly to be removed from their posts and arrested. Soon afterwards, many television channels across the country ceased transmitting. The Soviet military leaders know that if it doesn't prove possible to destroy the President of the United States in peacetime, it will be practically impossible to do so at a time of crisis. The President will be in an underground or airborne command post, somewhere extremely inaccessible and extremely well guarded. Consequently, the leaders, while not abandoning attempts to kill the President, for which purpose, several groups of assassins with every kind of weapon, including anti-aircraft missiles, have been dropped into the country, decide to carry out an operation aimed at causing panic and confusion. If it proves impossible to kill the President, then they will have to begin to capture the rule of the current country and its armed forces at the most critical moment. To carry out this task, the Soviets have secretly transferred to Washington a Spetsnaz company and the first Spetsnaz regiment at the strategic level. A large part of the company is made up of women. The entire complement of the company is professional athletes of Olympic standards. It has taken several months to transfer the whole company to Washington. The athletes have arrived in the guise of security men, drivers and technicians working in the Soviet embassy and other Soviet establishments. And their weapons and equipment have been brought in containers covered by diplomatic privilege. The company has been split into eight groups to carry out its mission. Each group has its own organization, structure, weapons, and equipment to carry out their task. Some of the groups will have to make contact with secret agents recruited a long time previously by the GRU resident Shura. On 11 August, the GRU resident in Washington, a major general known by the codename of Mudley, received an enciphered telegram consisting of one single word. Yes. On the president's orders, the Spetsnaz company leave their places of work. Some of them simply go back home. Some are transported secretly in the boots of their cars by GRU officers and dropped in woods around the city, in empty underground garages and other secluded places. The group commanders gather their groups together in previously agreed places and set about carrying out their task. Group number one consists of three men, and the group is backed up by one secret agent. The agent works as a mechanic at an airport. In his spare time, he builds flying models of aircraft of various sizes. This particular model was designed by the best of the aircraft designers and put together in America from spare, bought in the open market. The agent himself does not play any part in the operation. A van containing a light radio-guided aircraft and its upper wing has been standing in its garage for some months. What the aircraft is for and to whom it belongs, the agent does not know. He only knows that someone has the key to the garage and
person can at any moment stop and reach the van along with the aircraft. In the middle of the night, the Stutzman group drives the van out into the forest, where they take the explosive charges from a supersonic plane and prepare the plane for flight. At dawn, the van is standing in a deserted parking lot. Group number two is doing roughly the same at the same time. But this group has three important tours. Two of whom have left their cars with radio beacons parked in precisely defined spots in the center of the city. Group number three consists of 15 Stutzman's men and five experts from the RGB continent. They are all wearing police uniforms. At night, the group kidnaps the director of a television company and his family, leaving the family and home as hostages guarded by three Stutzman's men. The rest of the group make their way to the studio, capturing two more highly placed officials on their way, also as hostages, but without getting caught through noise or panic among the staff. Then, with guns buttoning them and supervised by certain electronic experts, the director and his assistants insert, instead of the usual advertising program, a video cassette, which the commander of the group has given him. The video cassette has been made up in advance of the Soviet Union. The role of the vice president is played by an actor. The Soviet high command knows that it is very difficult to break into American military channels. If it is at all possible, then at best it will be possible to do no more than overhear conversations or interrupt them. It is practically impossible to use them for transmitting bulk orders at strategic levels. That is why it is decided to make use of the civilian television network. It is difficult to get into a television studio, but it is possible. And there are many to choose from. Operations are carried out simultaneously in several different cities against various TV companies. If the operation succeeds in only one city, it will not matter. Millions of people will be disoriented at the most critical moment. The operational plan is provided that just after the vice president has spoken, several repress will be destroyed by other Stutzman groups. And one of the American communication satellites will be shot down by mistake by a Soviet satellite. This is intended to surprise the president and the real vice president for the opportunity to refuse the false declaration. But events do not go entirely according to plan. The president succeeds in addressing the people and issuing a denial of the report. After the television network throughout America has suffered such major damage, the radio immediately becomes the principal means of communication. Radio commentators produce different commentaries about what is happening. The majority of them report that it is difficult to say which report is genuine and which is false. But that the only fact about which there is no doubt is that the White House has indeed been destroyed. At the moment when all these events are taking place, in Washington, another Stutzman company from the same regiment is ordered by the GRU resident in New York to carry out the same operation, but on a much larger scale. They do not make use of radio guided aircraft, but seize two television studios and one radio studio, which they use for transmitting the same false report. Five other Stutzman groups emerge from official Soviet offices and make open armed attacks on underground cable and some radio and TV transmitting and receiving areas. They manage to damage them and also some transformer stations. As a result of which, millions of TV screens go blank. A few hours later, Stutzman's detachment, on F-7 of 120 deaths, lands in New York Harbor from a freighter sailing under a Liberian flag. Using its firepower, this detachment makes its way to the New York subway station. And, putting into small group and seizing a train with hostages, sets about destroying the underground communications of the city. In the area around the first of America's huge aircraft carriers and nuclear submarines in Norfolk, several new tanks are discovered, as well as underwater saboteurs with aquamarines. In Alaska, 18 different places are recorded where small groups have tried to land from Soviet naval vessels, submarines, and aircraft. Some of the groups have been destroyed as they landed. others had managed to get back to their ship, or after landing successfully, hidden in the forest. Spetsnaz Detachment IF-7 consisting of 8 men lands on the coast of Mexico. Immediately commence commandeered private cars. In the next night, using that firepower and new mobility, lost the United States war. All Spetsnaz groups land and use routes and methods employed by illegal immigrants, while others make use of paths and methods used by drug dealers. Islands in the military installation. On them are more vulnerable to sabotage operations. And at the same moment, Spetsnaz groups are landing on Okinawa and Guam, Diego Garcia, Avery, and dozens of other islands of what the West has been. You've been listening to 77. Lima, Juliet, Sierra. The date is 9th May, 2023. The hour is late. The book in question is Spetsnaz, the inside story of the Soviet Special Forces, authored by Viktor Suvorov. And remember, we are all behind enemy lines. Goodbye.